This is the Gary V Audio Experience.
Let's hear for the legend, Shaquille O'Neal.
Why you make that man wrap his shit up early? That man wasn't done talking.
You were in the back. We gave the king plenty of time. We gave the king. How was that? Special guy, right?
Can you hear me? Turn me up.
Turn him up a little.
Turn me all the way up.
There we go.
La 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 la.
You forgot this man was a musical genius. I don't forget that album. Shaq, how are you?
I'm good. I'm trying to be like you. You know what they call me in the NFT space, right? The Black Gary V, baby.
Shaq, it's such an honor to be doing this with you. Thank you for doing this. Thank you for being here with the Gift Goats. This is a representation of a small community of 555 within the VFriends world. Let's clap it up for each other first. So having the goats here, as you can imagine, I wanted to be, you know, when you weren't here, I was giving you some roses. Obviously, most people think of you as a goat on the court. I especially get excited when you put out your own top 10 list, your own top 20 list. I like the way you play that. I always get a kick of that seeing in my feed. But I said this and I want to say it to you. I find you to be a very unusual human being. Forget about the level of charisma you have and all the things that we all know. I think entrepreneur, creative, incredibly warm-hearted and kind and giving back, obviously an iconic athlete, I think you are a goat human being.
Stop, you're gonna make me cry.
Seriously, my man.
I love you too,
exactly,
Gary.
I actually hurt. I'm really, really honored to have you here, and really, I wanna make this about the goats being able to ask questions. So
sure.
I'll do a little something here, but goats, very honestly, I'm obviously happy to answer anything as well, but I think you know you get more access to me, so if you are incredibly passionate and have a question for Shaq in any of the journeys, in the multiple places he's played, the mics are up there right now. You're more than welcome to start lining up, and we will do serious, serious Q&A while we have him here, and then we'll do a little competing after we're done with this interview. So before we get into the first questions, what's Shaq up to right now? What is the big fella excited about?
Well, because of you, me and my partner, we created something called Astrals. We're in the NFT space. You know, I've learned a lot over the years, but I remember when I heard you say you like to surround yourself with smart people. I've been doing that for years. So, you know, just continuing to make people smile, continuing to do the right thing, continuing to be positive. You know, this world is getting crazier and crazier by the day. So when you see this face, hopefully it makes you laugh. Hopefully it inspires you. And hopefully one day you see me whoop Charles Barkley's ass. What, Gary, one day I'm going to just get up and I'm going to just smack the shit out of Charles. Just one day. I don't know when, but one day.
Shaq, real quick, just I'm going to go very basketball nerdy just for all the basketball fans in here, being a big one. The season's extremely early. You have transitioned to be an incredible commentator along with Sir Charles. But it's not just that you guys are incredibly charismatic and funny and you do a really incredible job on TV, but you obviously know the game extremely well. And so we're 4 seconds in. You know, I've watched sports aggressively for 40 years, so I know how much changes, especially with the NBA playoffs, all this. But any hot takes of anything you've seen early on that has caught your attention, whether it's the rookie in Orlando, whether it's the way Golden State's playing or the way the Sixers and Lakers are playing, like what's the thing that's happened in the first couple weeks that you're like, huh?
I would have thought that Joel Embiid would come out with a little more aggression. Because I remember a couple years I thought I got slighted by Steve Nash winning the MVP and I was just pissed the whole summer. And I just wanted to, from game one, let everybody know that I'm the real MVP. I got messed over last year, and I'm about to show you. Sixers are 0-3, so it's kind of disappointing. I just thought that, because, you know, he came up runner-up twice to the Joker, so I thought he would be a little bit more angry, and I thought he'd play.
Do you think he's banged up?
Bro, we're all banged up. That's an excuse. I don't want to hear that shit, Gary. No excuses. You know, we like if this was an easy world, everybody'd be billionaires and
trillionaires. We have a simple game of knockout coming out, and 13 of these fuckers came with casts and fucking injuries here.
For real?
Yeah. No, but like all of a sudden, everybody had a cast. Look at that cast, the fucking leg thing over. Like everybody's got plenty of excuses here because they don't want to be exposed in an hour. Listen, but we will see something.
He's banged up. We're all banged up. But when you talk about perseverance and you talk about legacies, it's just going to make his legacy much more. Like my favorite stories are when guys overcome the impossible. The Michael Jordan flu game. Remember that game?
Yeah, of course I do.
Where he couldn't even sit and he needed oxygen. He went out and dominated. Like everybody's banged up. Just got to, you know, suck it up and suck through it. And like, my motto is, if you can walk on the court, then you can play. If you're that banged up, don't play.
That's a real analogy. If you can walk on it, you can play on it. All right, look. Shaq's been incredibly gracious with his incredibly busy schedule, so I'm not going to eat up any more time. I want to give you guys... Go ahead.
I don't want this guy to ask a question because he's been smiling at me a little too hard. Stop fucking smiling.
Go ahead. You go first. We're going to go there first. But then there's like,
just ask the question, bro.
Hey, baby.
And he has a fucking deep, sexy voice. Jeez. How are you doing,
let's,
Diesel?
Let's establish your name and where you're from.
Barry from Miami, previously Los Angeles and Toronto. I just wanted to say I have so much respect for you, not just the competitor, the businessman, but just the sort of man you've shared so many times about becoming. I'm wondering what advice you might share with men about the kind of man you want to be. How do you be a better man?
How to become a better man? In what facet?
Well, that's what I'm kind of curious what you would focus on. But I think emotionally, you know, showing up in life with integrity for family, for business. Like, how do we compete at the highest level and achieve at the highest level, but still show up with integrity and love?
Like a kind warrior.
I have,
like a V friend.
Yeah.
I've always had a switch. I can tell that we're all hustlers in here, but you got to turn it off. When you come home to your wife and your kids, turn it off. Right? You don't want to bring that part into this part. And when I started having children, that helped me. Because before I had kids, I would just tear my house up. Once I started having kids, and my first child was a daughter, and she don't care about any of that. And I'd come home and I'd see her smile, it would make me turn it off. And then, not thinking about it, boom, boom, boom. And then the next morning, what had happened was my brain and my battery had recharged. Now when I go back to work, I can go in full force. So my advice is you have to modulate, right? You have to modulate. So the reason why I asked what facet, are you married, you're not married. So you just have to be able to turn it on and turn it off and relax sometimes. And remember, don't focus on the problem, focus on the solution. Like people always say, I got a headache. I got a headache. As soon as they say, I need some fucking aspirin, the headache goes away. So think about the problem and then immediately start thinking about the solution.
Thank you very much. And never stop asking Chuck about the women of San Antonio. I love that.
We're not allowed to do that anymore.
Let's keep this going. I want to get as many as possible.
Jack, I love you.
You didn't shave before you came to a Gary Vee event?
He looks
no
good.
Way, man.
He looks
all
good.
All right.
Sam, I'm from Phoenix. Yeah. Yes, go Suns.
Got a little testy there last night.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Really physical. Just want to say, Jack, I love you. Love that you've always just been yourself from day one. Gary, love you, man. Know where I stand with you. Shaq, I just want to briefly share my favorite Shaq moment of all time, because you are everywhere all the time, it seems like. But do you remember when you were on SNL and your name was Bernard? And your dad was Tracy Morgan. And he was like, get your ass over here. I'm going to spank your butt, Bernard.
Would you like to reenact that scene?
Yes, yes.
Come on.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Let's go. Unbelievable. You're the fucking best. You're the fucking best, Shaq.
All right. Next question before I get my ass spanked.
No, he's...
All right, so Tracy was sitting down.
Yeah.
This is unbelievable.
This was shot on SNL about 20 years ago. I don't want y'all to think this is some new shit. All right,
go. Pay attention, Moose.
All right, Bernard, get your ass over here on both. Spank your butt. How many times I gotta tell you, get here on time, boy?
Let's clap that up. That's awesome.
Don't ever do that again.
Did not have that on the bingo card.
I will kill you.
What's up, Shaq? Big Aristotle.
What's up, brother?
My name is Brian. I'm from New York.
NYC.
I had a business question. So I started a meal prep company in 2015. Did unbelievably well. In January of 2020, I was diagnosed with brain cancer. In March, the world shut down with COVID. So business was going very well. And a lot of the locations that I dropped off at, because we delivered to houses and gyms, they shut down permanently. Now I opened up a brick and mortar. A lot of good things going for me right now. I've kind of overloaded my plate. I have a deal with a casino, co-packing for them, a nationwide company, co-packing for them. But right now I have my hands in so many different pots, I don't know what the fuck to do. It's just I kind of loaded my plate with so much shit that I need help. More so capital for hiring an operating manager, but I'm kind of, you know, lack of better terms, lost in the sauce here. What would your advice be?
Get help.
I'm trying to. You want to help?
No, seriously, get help. You know, Eisenhower said the greatest leaders are the ones that hire people that are smarter. You got to get help. You can't be everywhere at once, so get help.
Did you say you're looking for capital to hire?
Yeah, but even if I had capital, I wouldn't really know where to put all of that. Like, let's say I get $500,000. Well, do I do 250 in equipment?
This will be a good answer for everyone. The first place you deploy capital when you're growing is to hire someone to do the shit that you know has to get done that you like the least. The integrator. Right? Because the key, this is a very important insight. Your energy is what you need to protect. And when you're doing shit that you don't want to be doing, but you know you have to, and we all do that in many facets, it's draining you. You might even be good at it. There's things that I'm good at that I hire for early on because I know it's a drainage. I don't love it. I don't wake up on Wednesday and say, oh, I can't wait for these 3 hours. So where you deploy that capital is the things that are taking up your time every single day and every week that you don't like.
What if you can't afford that help that you hire?
Well, then you're out of business, right? Like the thing that people forget about business is it's not supposed to always be easy. Like right now, everyone's about to go out of business because for the first time in a decade, people are not gonna be able to raise money. And people are just gonna go out of business. So what you start doing is actually running a profitable business and you start scrapping. Every company I've ever started, you start with youngsters that you kind of co-train. You might be able to not hire the $150,000 person to do the thing that you do, but you might be able to hire the 22-year-old you for $14 an hour who wants to get taught, and you work with her or him for 6, 7, 9 months alongside, and then you slide it off.
And it'll be less stressful for you if you start focusing on the solution.
Andy was an intern for Jab. Andy's career with me, who is the president of VFriends, was an intern for Jab, Right Hook, the book. And I didn't even want to pay him, but my lawyer said we'd get sued. Right? They're out there. By the way, they're about to be really out there.
And then, right? then you said something that was very interesting. You said, even if I had capital, I don't know what to do with it. Ask. Like when I don't know shit, I ask. Hey man, how'd you get this? Like I've met the CEO of this. I'm like, hey, what is this? How is it? Like I've seen it, but how? Boom, bam, bam, bam. You ask questions.
Real quick, because I know a lot of you in this room, because I'm going to keep going. I want to get this many. This goes back to how I started this session. If you're sitting right now and you feel like you have actual advice because you've actually done it, make some noise right now if you feel like that way. That's it. You got seven people gonna roll up on you and give you the answer.
Thank you.
That's what we're here
good
for.
Good luck. And remember, get help.
Let's keep it going.
What up, bro? Shaq, big fan. I'm Sean from Arizona. Diehard, lifelong Suns fan. And as a diehard, there's a lot of my diehard friends that debate trading for you in 07 being a mistake. But I want to tell you why I always defend that it was the right trade. What Gary talked about at the beginning, the kindness that you deploy, the things that you've created outside of your career as an NBA player, the stat line that always gets me to stand up and say, no, trading for Shaq was the right move. Might surprise you, it wasn't your free throw percentage.
You can laugh. I don't get sensitive.
I'm sorry, there was something in the contract. I don't know if you read it when you kind of signed when you came in.
Oh, the
you
fine
mentioned
print.
Free throws.
I just
you had to go
it
home.
Out,
you had to leave. You have to leave the building. It was great seeing you.
I like jokes.
But for real, the stat line of is you, the amount of times you stood on some sketchy street corners in Phoenix, handing out yourself tickets to the Suns game, to fans representing my city, representing my team. My question is, what role has kindness played in building your success?
My mother taught me a long time ago, cost you nothing to be nice. When I first became Shaq, 18, 19 years old, I was arrogant. My mother and my father are people you don't talk back to. My father said, be careful who you step on your way to success. And my mother would say, who the hell are you? That ended my arrogance. She said, it's because you're starting to get all this stuff. Doesn't make you better than my man up there sitting next to his son. Doesn't make me better than this guy with the hat.
Dustin.
You know, so. And then my favorite word, always be humble. So with me, what you see is what you get. I don't like, you know, I do a lot of random acts of kindness. I don't like bragging about it because that's not what I'm about.
Yeah.
Like, I just like making people happy. The thing that I wish I had the answer for, homelessness. Homelessness hurts my heart. The other day, where were we the other day? We were in some city the other day and we saw a guy eating dirt. Where?
Baltimore.
Yeah, we were in Baltimore and we came under the bridge and the guy was eating dirt. And I wanted to just, you know, so I'm always remain humble, remain kind.
Are those soft skills you look for in businesses you invest in or partners you take on? Like, is that an important trait that you look to?
I have to believe in the product, and I never look at the monetary aspect of it. Just have to believe. If I believe, and I can believe it's something that's
going to,
you know, be good for the people, I'll usually invest.
Nope.
Thank you.
I'm surprised to hear that you were...
And I better not see you in the parking lot. Knock your ass out.
I'm surprised. I'm surprised.
Say something now, free throw joke, man.
I'm surprised you were, you know, you felt that you were so, cocky and over the top.
No, I was because, and I'm going to tell you what.
Didn't Stanley Roberts create some humility when you first got to LSU?
Yeah, but from 9 to 15, I was terrible. You're terrible. You're never going to make it. You suck. 6'9", you can't dunk. Join the army like your father. You're never going to make it. You're never going to make it. And I'm a hustler, you know. Keep working.
Keep working.
No matter what they say, whoever they may be, keep working. So finally, when I get the status as the number one player, it was like my way of saying,
fuck you.
Yes. So, but then I would just do crazy stuff, and my mom, she didn't like it. So she said, you know what? Just stay humble. Yes, sir.
Hey, my name is Gerard. I'm from Detroit. What's up, Shaq?
What's up, brother?
Gary? Good to see you again.
I have two questions. First question is for both of you guys. It's real quick. So last year, at the end of last year, I realized, like, money's not really going to change me. Like, I'm still staying where I'm at. But I have realized that money has changed. It can make relationships a little bit different for, like, your close friends, like your close family and friends. Do you have any advice, like practical advice that you can deal with money with like your inner circle? Because I heard like some that like, you know, never lend it out. Don't ask for money back or...
I have a lot of friends. And when I first got made big time, I said, you've been down with me, I'm down with you. What do you want to do? And they give me an idea. We create an LLC. You work for me now. I'm just going to give you money, right? Okay. You know, like, okay, you want to start a record label? Let's be like, let's do it. You want to do this? You want to do that? So, you know, if they're your close-knit group and you don't want to give it to them, won't you, like I said, like I told the other guy, get help. Use them as your help and create something bigger. But I would say create an LLC, put them on payroll, and get some of that money back. Like, you just, you're right, because they do change. Trust me, they change. But, you know, you don't want to get rid of them because they've been there with you. Let's just say, like, hey, you're my guy. Let's just grow together.
Yeah, for me, it was for the inner circle.
Yeah.
It was, if I was giving money, I was giving money.
So not lending, you know what I mean? Not loaning.
Yeah, like a couple people in my life tried to say, I'll pay you back. My brain didn't even accept it.
Yeah.
You know, if this was somebody I was close to and I could afford it, you have to be comfortable also saying no. I was accountable to me. I wasn't going to judge them. I knew shit could change and, you know, things would change for me in the future. I always felt that I could make more in the future. But if I wanted to give because they were close to me, I gave. And it was more about me not creating resentment towards them than worrying about their actions. If I gave, I gave. And if I didn't, I didn't. But if I gave, I didn't create resentment or expectation of them.
And then just having the courage to say no, basically. You're saying.
Yeah, you're gonna have to have the, in my framework, you had to have the courage to say no. Which, you know, it took me a long time to get good at.
Yeah,
even back then, I'm sure if I think back, some of it was sloppy, some of it was avoidance, slippery on the court, you know? But yeah, you've got, like, the best case scenario is having the capacity to say no, but when you say yes, understanding that that does not come with it, like you're giving.
Yeah. And the last question, so Shaq, I'm actually right now trying to make one of the biggest NFT projects ever. Like I'm really, really ambitious project, and just being honest, straightforward, I want to actually sponsor you as like the first athlete of my NFT project. It's actually a beer pong project, and it's gonna be in a Midwest location. I got 6 facilities. It's gonna be a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday in August. And obviously you're an A-plus celebrity and that's what helped. But the thing is, what I'm noticing, my first phase is I have to work with NIL and college students. And I'm starting to realize when you're talking to college students, what they want is that dollar. They don't care about Ethereum. They don't care about an NFT. They don't care about Bitcoin and all that type of stuff. And it's a little bit tough trying to explain to them what a digital asset is and all that type of things. So just having somebody who is at that type of level, if you would be interested. And, we can sponsor you, just like an Icy Hot, you know what I mean? Would you be interested?
My partner's right there under you with the blue hat. Talk to him about that.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Let's keep it going.
Big Fish Benny, Pittsburgh, PA. How you doing, Shaq?
I like you, brother. What's up?
Thanks, man.
You know what my favorite part about Pittsburgh is? That it doesn't have a basketball team.
Well, I'm a Cavs fan. I was actually born in Canton, Ohio. Grew up with LeBron up the road a little bit. So I loved the days in Cleveland, like the 6 months, I think, that you were in there. But anyway.
Really? Mike, my buddy, put the mic closer to your mouth.
Oh, sorry.
No worries.
My buddy Vinny, who did these awesome gift goat shoes for me, made a painting. I don't know if you guys saw it yet.
It was the back, yeah.
And we only have one. It's custom, right? And I want to give it to one of you two. He mentioned free throws. It'd be cool to have a free throw contest between the two of you to get the painting. Okay, because it's a really cool. No, just between you two.
I retired.
All right. Well, whatever.
Yeah, and I don't want to lose the Shaq and free.
Gary, then figure out. Then Gary.
Don't fucking touch me, Gary.
All right. Hey, Gary, just figure out who gets it. I wanted
we'll
to go to one
out.
Of you two.
We'll figure it
auction
out.
It for charity. My question is about business, and I love the gentleman's question about how to find your right hand man. I can help you with that, because you will have a lot more fun in life. When you go to start businesses and you do a lot of philanthropy, how do you decide what philanthropic projects to do? How do you incorporate it with business? What are the goals? How do you mix all that together? I really would love to know more, because I've already built one business and I'm getting ready to build a media company, and I really want to start from the beginning with philanthropy.
I deal with things that are close to my heart. I always tell the three stories. One story is my father got some extra cash, came home, big man, that was my nickname, was big man. Let's go get something to eat. So we go to White Castle. You ever heard of White Castle?
Yeah, oh yeah.
So we go to White Castle. I get 6 double cheese. He gets 6 double cheese. We couldn't finish them. On the way back, we see a guy that has a sign, homeless guy, will work for food. My father pulls over and find out the guy was in the military on hard times. And I kind of asked, I didn't understand. I said, why'd you give him my food? And he said, if you could ever help those in need, make sure you take care of them. So I do a lot with the homeless initiative. I do a lot with the children. It's an alarming stat that 15 million kids a year will wake up on Christmas and not receive one single toy. So I do an event that's called Shaka Claus, and that's just close to my heart. And then, you know, when I was young, my father was a drill sergeant. He would get all the troops, and they would get all their clothes. He'd come early Saturday morning, go, go, and he'd get their clothes, put them in boxes, and we'd take them to the Salvation Army. And you know that saying, another man's trash is another man's treasure? Like when we would take those old army clothes to the people at Salvation Army, they would be, so I do a lot with the Salvation Army. So
how do you decide though, like what percentage of revenue or profit?
Whatever I feel like.
That's a subjective call.
Yeah, okay,
No, it's a great question.
That's a great question. I do real shit. I don't do $1,000, $2,000. I do 50 and up. Like I don't, here's $1,000. No, I do 50, 100, 200, a million.
Right, no. Comma, this man's a juggernaut, right? Like, and I think, you know, I'm a well member of Charity Water. So anytime anybody here donates $10 to Charity Water, all the money goes to actually building wells. In Africa, over 1 billion people now down to 850 million people don't have access to clean water. Back to gratitude, like clean fucking water. So what happened for me, a human being changed the course for me. It was about Scott and his passion to get it done. And he said one thing in the first time we sat down that changed the way I did everything. He's like, Gary, you're a good dude, and you're probably thinking the way we all grew up. You're gonna make it, and then you're gonna give it away. He's like, why not now, right? So like most of us haven't gotten to the place we have in our mind to when we're gonna give, but, and obviously this man has created a lot of opportunity and wealth creation for himself, his family, and the things he's passionate about, but there's not a person in here who can't give 500 bucks or 1,000. It matters. And so, and your deciding how much is very personal. It's extremely personal, and it will continue to be personal. Some years are better than others. Sometimes you need to take care of your family instead of something you're altruistic about, and so that's very personal.
And I'm impressed by one person in here. That's this dad and his son.
I love it.
And let me tell you why. When I was young, my father used to bring me to events like this, and I'm sitting there, and I never know what's going on, but I could tell a little man is paying attention. How old are you, 12? Yeah, I could tell he's paying attention. He's soaking
really
his
12?
Knowledge up.
Or are you too scared to tell the big fella he was wrong? You're really 12?
So he's sitting here, he's soaking all his knowledge up, so. You know, when I became the Shaq, I already had so much knowledge that, like...
Yeah, I get it.
I'm not sure he's paying attention. He probably is,
No, he's paying attention. Not only that, the dad, in certain points when we've been talking, was whispering on the things that he thought was valuable.
So, little man, make sure you always listen to your mommy and daddy. No, seriously. Make sure you always listen to your mom and dad. And I'm proud of you for being here.
My name is Grayson.
Nice to see you, Mr. Grayson. Yes, that's impressive.
Let's go, LSU.
I had a flashback. My dad used to bring me it all. I'm like, what the fuck am I doing here? But then when I got older, I'm like, oh, I remember this, and boom, bam. So make sure you listen to your dad.
All right. I'm Ross. I went to LSU and also a member of a D9 fraternity, Go Mob. Shaq, I'm so thankful for you and the impact you've made on my alma mater and just the D9 community as a whole. You are an icon and have done so much. Superstar on and off the court. It's something that's been mentioned a lot is what everybody admires so much about you is your kindness. And the videos that impressed me are the ones hearing about you getting your shoes in Walmart because you wanted everybody to be able to afford them. You buying people's groceries, laptops, whatever. It's just the moments with individual people where you're showing that kindness, the care. You've got a huge heart and you really impressed me, man. What really instilled that in you? What were the moments, the people? What was that shift for you to be the person that you are today?
I just realized I'm lucky. Mm-hmm. I was a great basketball player, but I'm lucky that they pay us a lot of money. Yeah. I'm lucky. So, if I can help those in need, it was the way I was raised, just the right thing to do. It's never planned out. It just hits me. Mm-hmm. Like, my favorite store to go to is Best Buy. And I'm always looking for the moms and the kids. And moms have to be moms, they have to take everything. I just wait for them to price check. How much? $1,500. No, how much is this one? Now I know I got one. Mm-hmm. So I talk to the kid, be like, go ask your mom, can you take a computer from a stranger? Be like, what? Be like, listen, I want to give you this, but I don't want you taking stuff from people. So go ask your mom, is it okay? So the moms will turn around and they'll see me. Because it's just the right thing to do. Like, $1,500 is a lot to mom, but not really a lot to me. It's not, I'm going to do this and post a GoFundMe. It's just, it hits me. It's the right thing to do. If I can help somebody save $1,500 but get the computer that they really want, that's what it's all about. And again, I'm one of the luckiest guys in the world. Like, I remember the first time I rode on a plane with Gary Vee. A lot of guys see Gary Vee, but you don't get to ride on a plane from Atlanta to Paris and pick his brain for 9 fucking hours. Yeah. And he doesn't stop talking and he didn't go to sleep. So I'm just asking questions. Bam, bam, bam. So I'm just one of the luckiest guys in the world.
Thank you, my man.
So is that pretty natural for you, just like that feeling of being lucky and blessed?
No, it's because I've been in both worlds. Mm-hmm. I've been in a world where you're nothing. You stink, you suck. And then I've been in a world where, oh my God, it's you. So, like when I was in high school, I was a man, but he talked about Stanley Robbins. When I got to college, I realized you're not that fucking good. And then you have to rise back to the top. Now I'm the number one college player. But when I got to the NBA, I realized, hey, you're not the man. Mm-hmm. So when you're not the man, you can't be acting like you are the man. You have to, calm down, wait your turn. Mm-hmm. But again, look, I like making people smile. They always say, When it's all said and done, what do you want to be remembered for? I don't care about how much money I make, how many companies I own. I want people to say Shaq was a nice guy. That's
love
it. That's it.
Appreciate Shaq.
Thank you.
Let's keep it going.
Hey, Shaq.
Nice jacket.
Yeah, man. Chris from Jersey City.
Okay.
My question is, I'm nervous. I'm inspired by you. Based on your ability to redefine who you are, you've been labeled, NBA's player, and now you're this DJ, business mogul, philanthropist. My question is an advice question. So I just got the job of my dreams, but I feel like an imposter. And so when you walk into these new situations and you're trying to reinvent yourself from the label you have to a new label, how do you think through dealing with that situation and the imposter syndrome that comes with that?
So when you invited into a new area, you're invited there because you're good, right? But you feel like an imposter, and you should. You're just getting there. So listen, learn, and then add a little bit of your own flavor. That's it. Listen to the guy that's been working there 10 years, see how it did worse, learn. Okay, I thought you'd do it this way. And then add a bit of your own flavor. You're there for a reason. They hired you for a reason. Because you are the man. So listen, learn, and add your own flavor. That's all I could, when I step into a new thing, I don't come in like I know it all. I listen, learn, and then just add a little bit of your own flavor. And you'll be fine. And remember, you got the job. Could have been 100 other thousand people that got the job. But they fucking hired you.
Yeah, man.
So you're the man. And own it. And know it.
An important thing to jump in on for everybody real quick, if you're paying attention, and just as an observation that I hope brings value. If you're listening, one thing I've always liked about Shaq's points of view, and I really associate with them because I think it's how I think about things, there's incredible levels of simplicity in what we're talking about here. It's the discipline to get it done that people are struggling with, not the insights to how to do it. Everybody here has heard the ways to do it. You can Google it. You can literally fucking Google it. This is why I talk so much about patience or turning out the noise, whether it's high or low. Because the reality is that people are struggling with the execution of, from an emotional standpoint, of having the perseverance, the discipline, and most of all, the patience, because so many people have so much attachment to the success of. They're so attached to the success of that they want it to happen faster so they get that feeling. When you think about someone who's accomplished what he has, to be so detached from all those accolades, to only want to be attached to the simplicity of he was a nice guy, that's why he's able to do all those things. And this is the framework that you have to get there. And a lot of it is, think about the sergeant, the mom, the people along the way. We are so affected by the people that we spent time with. This has so much to do about my ambition with what we're trying to do. I genuinely feel a lot of people here will be affected by the people in here more than by me, more than by this hour. And you should fight for the people that have that conversation and that energy to be the people that are closest to you. Let's keep it going.
Hi, my name's Shiv. I'm in San Diego, California. And my question is, I run a digital marketing agency, and as I've kind of achieved a certain level of success, I'm always kind of cognizant of not creating a situation where I'm surrounded by yes men with the people who work for me. Obviously, you two are very, very big, kind of notable people in the space. And I just wonder how you, Shaq, create an environment where people don't just want to agree with you every second of every moment of every day, because you're Shaq, instead of saying, hey, Shaq, that business idea is really dumb, right? And that's really stupid. And having that friction, and not just agreeing because they're afraid of their job or they have to say yes to stay around you.
I have about 20 people that work for me. And we argue all the time because they're not yes men. The thing that keeps us together is we never disrespect each other. Again, all the people that are with me, they're smarter than me. I know that. But every now and then I like to, no, we should do this. And they'll be like, no, that's stupid. And we argue. What? Gives his point, I give my point. Okay, you're right. Same thing with me and Kobe. We argued all the time, but we never disrespected each other. And that's why we're able to win 3 championships in a row. So you never want a yes guy. You want somebody that's going to give you their honest opinion. And if you do it like I do it, I always got smart guys around me.
Right.
Right? I'm the dumbest guy in my gang, and I love it. So when we have these conversations, it's always good, and it's always best out for me. Like my best friend Brian, we were arguing about is the earth flat or is it round, and, you know, that thing.
It's a triangle.
The fact that you're even asking the question has already solved the issue. Anybody who's scared to have yes men and women around them is not going to have yes and men women around them. It's people who can't see it. It's a silent poison.
Right. I appreciate it. Thank you. And I have one last question. I'm giving away this jacket to one of the gift codes here. I know we're not supposed to do signatures, but because it's given away, is there a way you both can sign this jacket?
If you hit a 3-pointer.
Oh, yeah. All right, there we go.
All right, come on.
Cool, appreciate it. Thank
you. We'll give you 3 chances.
But if you miss, we're not signing shit. My man, while we get him set up, let's go.
What's up, guys? My name's Rax, coming from LA. And my question is, with all the success that you guys both have had, how do you deal with failures? And how do you prevent the fear of failure from stopping you from executing something new?
Well, I never think about failure. And keep in mind, before you succeed, you must first learn to fail. But you never want to keep making the same mistake twice. So whatever you did and you failed, delete that shit. Control, right, alt, delete, never do it again. And then make it a game for yourself. I'm going to try it this way. It's only going to make you stronger. Disappointment will only make you stronger. There's a very, very small percentage that gets it right the first time. The rest of us, we have to fail. We have to argue. We have to fight. We have to do this. We have to do that. But I never think about failing. Never, ever. I always think about the positive outcome. And then sometime when reality kicks in, failure happens, and then you just adjust. Life is about adjusting. When I'm coming here, I live 45 minutes away, 75 north. It's a traffic jam. Am I going to sit in a traffic jam? No. Gary's going to be pissed if I'm late. Let me make a right here. Let me make a left here. You have to adjust in life. Like when we sit down and dream and think about things, we always think how perfect they could be. But again, when reality kicks in, the quicker you can adjust, the better you'll become in business.
For me, the failure, fearing it, is 100% predicated on you valuing the crowd's opinion. 100%. Because if you love failing the way I do, it's an indicator that you're challenging yourself and you have the humility to know that you're gonna lose a ton. You know, I this is my number one thing, like the jet, like athlete, in the context, if this man factored in what the crowd was doing while he was performing, it's inconceivable to achieve. Everybody here who fears failing is fearing it to someone, right? Usually a parent, right? Or a spouse or things of that nature. So understanding that the fear is only based on that, once you calibrate that, then you start loving fear.
Get your ass back down here.
All right, let's do it. Let's see the show. Let's clap it up. Here we go.
Don't be scared.
This is gonna be ugly.
Might want
anybody,
to take,
anybody want some side action?
You might want to take that jacket off.
Take the jacket off.
I know.
Take the jacket off.
Hold on.
No. NBA three-pointer. Come on, Shiv.
I don't think he's gonna make this shot.
NBA three-pointer, come on.
Who does? Two to one.
No pressure.
Two to one. How much? In. There we go.
Be friend two.
No.
Oh. You got a pin outside of it.
Yo.
No. You said full
you hit
stack.
The rim.
He said full stack.
I said 100, right?
Full stack, right? Full stack.
It's not going to reach. Good.
Yep.
Gary gonna make it rain.
Yep. Easy money, baby. Easy fucking money.
Damn. Magic City tonight, that? Gary?
Yeah, where the fuck are you going tonight?
Hey, can we start betting V-Friend 2s?
All right, here we go. Let's keep it going.
At
keep
the
going.
Center position, wearing number 34, Shaquille O'Neal! Sorry, I gotta do that. My name is Mikey. I'm born and raised in L.A. Huge fan of yours. Followed you your whole championship reign there in L.A. I live in Vegas now. Actually an acquaintance and worked with Perry, your manager. But my question for you is, I wanna for both of you, is a basketball question. So what's going on with Russ? Why isn't he being like he was before? Like,
I feel bad for Russ. And I'm going to speculate because I haven't talked to him about it. But
yeah,
I've never played in my hometown and people booed me. I never played on a team where everybody said it's your fault. I never played on a team where I feel like they don't want me. And mentally, that has to be tough on a person. Like, I can remember him talking about his wife and kids sitting in the stand and everybody just boom, 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 boom. To try to play and think about that, it has to be difficult for him. He probably needs a fresh start. So I can't answer that question because I've never had that problem. But I think if I was to play in L.A. and they would boo me, it would probably get to me. If I was to go home to New Jersey and play in the Meadowlands and play in Madison Square Garden and, you know, people boo me, it would probably hurt. So I'm sure he's going through a lot. So I'm not going to jump on the kill Russ bandwagon, but I was thinking about that the other day. Like, it has to be a lot. And usually for us, when things are going good, we don't have to worry about any of that. Yeah. Come play, go home.
Yeah.
But now, what's the guy saying to my wife? Oh, I missed a shot. He's making a face. Like, you know, it has to be overwhelming.
It's funny you brought that up. I did a podcast yesterday, hasn't come out yet, where I just lost my mind on this issue. I actually think this Russ situation is gonna be looked back on 15 years from now, because I think it's a next level of the things I hate the most in society. I think there's a lot of young kids that think it's just cool to make fun of Russ, and the behavior and the amplification of it is the most extreme thing I've seen in sports. There's been a lot of stuff, but it's literally disgusting that people are, we've taken the sense of tearing someone else down to make yourself feel better. I think the world is anxious. I think there's a lot of unhappiness, and it's become a thing, and people are doing shit that they don't even fully believe in because they're just stuck in fucking high school in their brain. And I think some of the pundits on TV are giving a lot of gas to it, and I think it's a real fucking problem, and it's really too bad. And I echo your feelings. I've never had any attachment to Russ. I don't have his rookie cards. I'm not a Thunder or other teams that he's played on fan. I've had nothing kind of like any reason to be an over fan. I don't know if the whole thing has actually bothered me. And I think it's an indicator, unfortunately, that things are gonna get worse with the fan-player relations, because it's totally fucking unacceptable. It's one thing to be in a rivalry, a Clippers fan being like, but like where this has gone is really just fucking horseshit.
Yeah, it's totally disgusting. That's 100%. Why I just wanted to get the state of the union from you guys on what that is all about, because it's fucked up.
It's fucked up.
It's fucked up.
We're going to keep this moving. I want to get to as many people as possible.
Ah, Gary, woo!
What's up, my man?
I love you guys. Woo! Honestly, I'm so grateful that you guys are here. My name's Jonathan from Refence Canada, Toronto. You two are the GOATs in like everything that you do. My question is, what attributes are the most important to get to that level of greatness? And how do you cultivate that?
Shaq?
I try to help other people become great. Whether I'm great or not, mentally I always thought I was great. So mentally you have to say I'm great, no matter what. But I try to spread joy to other people. Hey, how you doing? Whether it's a handshake, a picture, piece of advice, you know, kind of based off the John Wooden basketball theory, the true definition of a great player is one that makes other people great, right? So I just try to instill greatness into other people. Like I don't, again, how much money he makes, how many companies own, doesn't matter. Who cares? How can I help you, sir? How can I help you, ma'am? How can I help you, little kid? Right, because it was people like this that made me who I am today. Like I would ask questions. I would see other inspiring stories. I would do this. I was a copycat. Oh, I want to do that. I want to be like this. Oh, Gary's in the NFTs. Hey, Brian, what's this NFT thing about? Yeah, we should start a company. So like, you know, I'm always inspired by people that are smarter than me, that are greater than me. But remember, we're all great. We're all great. And if you believe you're great, you'll be the greatest thing since sliced bread.
For me, when you asked the question, what came to mind is, the reason I spend a lot of time talking about eighth place trophies is no one's gonna be great at anything if they're not competitive. And the fact that society decided to kind of manipulate being competitive, potentially viewed as a negative, is a real fucking problem, in my opinion. That's just something I'm very passionate about. Number two, I think the other thing that almost everyone struggles with on their path to greatness is 100% accountability. It is staggering to me how obsessed people are with pointing fingers and not thumbs. It is scary to watch people genuinely believe it's everyone's fault but themselves in a world where you can do anything you want. You can adjust. And then the third one is patience. Like, I'm just shocked how people talk about greatness, or people say shit that is like 1% life, right? The average income in the US, like the 1% earners in America start at about $440,000 a year. If you make $440,000 a year, you are now in the 1% earners in America, one of the richest countries in the world. But people talk shit like, I'm gonna make $1 million, acting like they don't realize that's a 1% thing, and then aren't willing to eat 1% shit. Everybody, like the fucking entitlement, the subconscious entitlement of human beings is fascinating. And that's why when I see parenting dynamics, what I think about is, are we teaching our kids that life is real and let them lose. Like, back to the question earlier about the fear of losing, I think one of the most important things a parent can do is put their child in as many positions as possible to lose. What we know is that over the last 30 years of modern parenting, it went reverse. We fucking did everything we could to not make them lose, and now we're wondering why they're struggling out there. Because they're scared shitless of everything, because they never tasted fucking the blood of fucking losing. So patience matters. If you want to be fucking GOAT and great and do all this shit that I see everyone saying that they're gonna do in the Discord, well, you gotta have to do that over a long period of time. Nothing happens over fucking night. And you're gonna have to do it by being 100% accountable. Because if it's this person's fault or that person's fault, you fucking suck. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I love you guys.
Hey, Shaq. Hey, Gary. I'm Mike from Israel. Nice to meet you.
Pleasure. Shalom, Baruch Hashem.
Shalom. I was sitting in my shack a couple of weeks ago thinking about you.
All right.
No, the truth is I haven't asked, but I wanted to say thank you first. Obviously, thank you to Gary for putting this together, but I recently saw a video, Shaq, of you saying that you like to go into stores and buy things for people who can't afford, et cetera, and I was in Walmart earlier buying some stuff for my kids, and there was a mother in front of me who put something back right there at the register, and I said, if I'm going to go see Shaq, and I'm going to be true to myself, so thank you.
Thank you.
For inspiring me. When VFriends started, so Mikey and I, we had the privilege of putting together a group of about 50 of our wonderful GOAT friends together, and we bought a number of tokens together as the pasture partners. Thanks, guys. And we're going to be building a couple of different projects together. One of them we've thought of is to build a Shark Tank-like project to help out other VFriend owners and other GOATs to help with, you know, we have lots of guys who have plenty of experience in business who can put in resources and energy to help out people to build businesses. And we were thinking about calling it the GOAT Tank. Would you let us call it the GOAT Shack?
That's going to cost you $600 million over 2 years.
That's excellent.
Talk to the guy with the blue hat.
Would you join us and help us?
Talk to him.
Will do. I appreciate it. In the spirit of competition, who's thrown down more? Shaq, you dunking on the court, or Gary, you dropping F-bombs?
Gary, by far.
Thanks,
Gary, by far. Taking down a rim in New Jersey. I'll never forget that. Listen, we've got 10 minutes before the thing. We got a lot of people in line. We're gonna try to convert into rapid fire. Shaq and I will try to keep it tight because I'd love to sneak us in, so let's keep it going. We're gonna go fast, please, everyone.
All right, my name is Mike Hager from Munich, Bavaria. Gary, thank you for answering the questions in my book. Thank you. We have the possibility to pick the brains of two of the biggest marketing geniuses here. How would you market a new beer brand that is targeted to an NFT audience? It's called 10 Apes. It's a board beer. I'm using my 10 board apes for the 10 different beers. How would you market that, the two marketing geniuses?
Well, my marketing strategy always involves humor.
Yeah, that's good. I'm a comedian.
You guys work hard all day, stress, whatever. When you come home, you want to crack open a beer. You want to watch a great game, you want to watch your show, whatever it is. My favorite show is Blacklist. And when you see my face, I want to be the guy to make you laugh. So whatever the product is, I don't know what the product is, but it would have to have some type of humor in it.
Cool. I can do that.
Everyone's marketing strategies in this room has to be fully predicated on putting out as much creative to as small a group of people as they can afford in resources, in their money and their time. I'm gonna say it slow again because this matters to everybody. The TikTokification of all social media is now happened and has changed everything we grew up with the last 15 years when social media is growing in importance. Putting out as much content as possible that isn't trying to reach everyone, but is trying to reach small specific groups, thus rendering you being very specific in what you're putting out, is now the way to win in marketing. It used to be one big commercial with a bullshit tagline to try to reach all of you, because it was this, now it's this from the bottom. And so what you need to do is create 50 to 100 different consumer segmentations for your beer, 21 to 25 year olds in Mexico, 30 to 35 year old moms, like psychographic, demographic, financial, 50 to 100, 30 to 40 cohorts, producing 1 to 2 pieces of content per cohort across the 7 to 12 social networks that matter. When something goes viral, because that's what happens now, you put paid media behind the virality to amplify it because the algo proved that it's working. That's what you should do.
Very helpful. Thank you.
Cool. We're going to keep going.
May I leave 2 cans with you?
We'll get them.
Hey, I'm Michael from Atlanta. Shaq, I've always been a big fan ever since I was a little boy. And friends with Cheryl and Ernie, and every year I see you on the Christmas party list, and I was hoping to always run into you. So it's a pleasure to meet you in person. This question is for both of you, and this goes back to what Gary was just saying about the entitlement and the finger-pointing culture. I started my business 20 years ago when I was 17. As I get older, everyone now is younger than me. As I continue to age, that worked for me. And this younger generation is not the grinding, you know, working hard. It's doing less and pointing fingers. My question to you is what we struggle with every day in our business, is how do you create the culture of accountability?
I don't have any younger people working for me, so I don't know. Because as a leader, I don't put up with that at all. So all the guys that's working for me are my age. We grew up together. We've been together 20 years. So I wish I could answer that.
I'll jump in. I have 1,000 employees under the age of 25. Yeah. I go back to accountability.
Yeah.
I have unlimited people. I'm looking at many people right now under 30 who work their face off.
Yeah.
And they work their face off because they trust me, because we have actual conversation. How many employees do you have?
40.
40?
Yeah.
I'm gonna throw you out the fucking window. Let me explain why.
Okay.
You need to have real one-on-one conversations with these people and ask them what drives them. You should have absolutely no problem on this. Instead of taking an ideological point of view, which you earned, when I heard 17, 20, you fucking grinded. But don't turn into that person. You know who I'm talking about. In my day, are you fucking, like, you're 37. You're not 137. 1:37 p.m., big shout out. Yeah. Anyway, so what you need to do is have the humility to be an accountable leader and try to figure out what each one of them ticks with. When you talk to them, after 15 minutes each, you may have a read of like 2 of them are like completely full of shit. That's great, you can fire. But you're gonna find that for 12 of them, the fact that you even give a fuck to care about what they care about versus what you care about them achieving for you changes fucking everything. Mm. The second you realize you work for those 40 people, they don't work for you, watch what the fuck happens with this problem.
Yeah.
Cool.
Thank you.
Let's keep it going.
Hi, my name's Harry. I'm from the UK. Thank you, Gary, for flying me out. Shaq.
Get the mic closer to you, brother.
Shaq, a question for you. When people grill you about your free throw percentage, how much does it actually get to you, and how much did it get to you in your playing career?
My mother told me one day when I was pissed, she said, even when being criticized, there's some truth in criticism. Not a good free throw shooter. I can't get mad at that. That's a fact, right? 53%, make one, miss one. That doesn't bother me, it's a fact. But I overcame that by saying, okay, I'm gonna be so dominant and I'm still gonna win championships and I'm still gonna do this and I'm still gonna make your favorite player quit. And it kind of offsets that I was a terrible free throw shooter, because even though I was a terrible free throw shooter, I like to assume I was one of the most dominant big men ever. So it's funny, I like to laugh, and it's true. Like, you can't be mad at a true statement.
Was it more of a case of focus on your strengths instead of getting caught up in your weaknesses?
I can't hear you.
Was it more of a case of focusing on your strengths instead of getting caught up in your weaknesses?
Yeah, he was like, fuck missing free throws. I'm going to take a shit on Chris Dudley.
Exactly.
That's what's up.
We were pissed, Moose. Me and Moose are Knicks fans. We were upset about that one. Go ahead.
That's going viral, what the fuck you just said.
Kilt the Dragon Chair, and I'm from Charlotte. And Shaq, thank you for being here, and Gary, thank you. And I just want to say, Shaq, that you're an epic giver, and of course, Gary gives away everything, and I think it's amazing. And to be early in NFTs like we all are, and I did notice that you have a mutant ape, but you did not get a bored ape. So you probably missed out on this. So this is my gift to you. Thank you for being here, and appreciate
you guys. That's awesome.
Thank you, buddy.
Give it to the man with the blue hat. It's very nice.
Appreciate you.
I'm going to keep going fast. Shaq's going to hang out after, as we transition this thing a little bit, so some of you will be able to say what's up real quick.
Hi, guys. I'm Bruce from Germany. And having observed you two from afar and also having observed you two just now when answering questions, I noticed that both of you are guys who learn predominantly from other people around you. So my question to both of you is, Shaq, what did you learn from Gary Vee? And Gary, what did you learn from Shaq?
I learned a lot. When he listens, he's a very... The reason why I started listening to Gary is because he speaks my language. I can't relate to the Harvard Facebook suit guys. I can't. Like, I heard of Gary Vee, and, you know, the first time we met, we were at the TNT executives, and I sat up front. I didn't say anything to Gary, but as he was talking, because they were like, Gary Vee, Gary Vee, Gary Vee, motivational speaker, boom, boom, boom. But when he came on dressed like that, I was like, who the fuck is this guy? But then when he started talking, I was like, he speaks my language. So I slid up to the front. It was me, him, Conan, and Brian, and then I started picking his brain. And ever since I met him, because he's a real guy, he says it like he means it, I started following him. And then whenever I look and I see something, you know, and he has the ability to see things before they happen. He was one of the first guys to talk about the NFT thing. And I didn't really know much about it, but I know who did. My best friend, Brian Buadi, who's sitting right there. I said, hey, I'm gonna sing you this Gary Vee thing, tell me what. So Gary spoke in a language that he understood, and Brian speaks a little more like, oh, it's this, digitized, bada bam, bada bing, you own it, okay, well, let's set something up, let's do it. So I learned a lot from him. I love him because he's real, and you know, he speaks my language. You know, the guys that wear the suits and that, I don't even listen to them, and you know, the fact that he drops the F-bomb every other word, I love that.
For me, it was affirmation to a lot of the traits that I most believe in, but when you asked it, and I wanted to give a distinct answer, I admire, and it, you know, I've always been on this journey, but no question, when I talk about Shaq behind his back in a positive manner always, I talk a lot about his curiosity. I admire his curiosity so much. He's spitting it the way he talks about it. He really does text me, he's like, what's this? And like that level of inquisitive nature, everything, you know, as I got to know him, because we all watched him from afar, it just clicked so fast to me that was a superpower of his. In the way that he loves being a superhero, I was like, this guy's fucking curious. He's inquisitive and he's humble, right? To be that, you've gotta be humble. And I think everybody here, if we remember certain things from today and this time together, leaning more into curiosity always, always, always puts you into a very good spot. And I think that's why he's found himself in many different places and he's been uber successful in some probably not as successful as he had an ideology for because he had so many passions, music, film, other things, like, but he's always taking at-bats out of curiosity. The lack of fear comes along with that. And so that curiosity is his starting point. And then he's got a lot of great other attributes, but I would say I've been inspired to quadruple down on my triple down on curiosity because I see it in him.
Thank you.
Cheers. Can I get one or two more?
Auf Wiedersehen, tschüss. That's right. German in case you didn't know, Gary.
Hi guys, I'm Eddie from Boston. First off, I've only met a handful of you, shut but up, this man. Community is fucking awesome. So thank you for all the fun, guys. Second off, sorry.
Let's calm it down.
Second, Gary, I would love 10 minutes with you if I could at some point.
We'll lock in for 5 right here. I can give you 5 right here as soon as we start.
Because I know I can bring one of your childhood passions to a grand scheme.
Let's fucking go.
All right. Shaq, 2 quick questions. 1 Web 3 space, 1 health. Right after VFriends launched, a couple weeks later, you launched your first NFT project on the Eternity. Yes. Platform. I was just curious because I went fucking hard on it, but always been a huge fan of yours. Is there anything in the future for that project, or are we like holding basically the digital version of the Shaq rookie card?
I'll let my guy answer that. Yeah, you know this shit, dude.
Were you talking about I was trying to do logistics.
The NFT project that he had released on Eternity.
Yeah, clap it up if you have some of those, because I know a lot of you do. And I think a lot of you remember, like, that was very well positioned, I thought, by them, which is like, this is for charity.
Yeah.
Right? Are you talking about Ethereum, the Shaq Gives Back?
No, the first one.
Eternity.
Oh, Eternity.
Yeah.
That wasn't the thing. The Shaq Gives Back was the first one.
I don't know, like, I have a bunch of ones that came, like, the one that was, like, right before the Christmas that you pumped on the podcast. Yep. No, I have that one, too, but there was another one before that.
Was that an official one, or did somebody just...
Yeah, because I saw it on Instagram with him talking about it.
Why don't you show the dude with the blue hat it so that you guys can... When we're hanging for 5 minutes, he'll come over and let's confirm that.
Absolutely.
I'm trying to figure it out. All right.
Thank you.
Is it one with his face on it, right?
No, there was one that was a bid, and the winner of that was supposed to have lunch with you, and then there was other tiers underneath that. It had, like, you were in your Orlando jersey, there was one in your Lakers jersey, Heat jersey, and they were all animated.
Oh, yeah. Show it to him. I think I know what you're talking about.
Okay.
I haven't showed it to him.
Give me 1 second.
And my second quick question is with health. CTE. Undiagnosed, but I know I definitely have it. Is it?
CTE. I'm not sure.
The concussion thing? Concussion.
Cool.
Yep.
I've been kind of mulling over this idea for a couple years now about doing something specifically with Christopher Nowinski. And because I think, and it's, you got to tiptoe around when you talk about this stuff, I think that there's a lot of potential in the use of psychedelics for brain injuries. And I was wondering if you think that CTE is predominant in the NBA as it is in the NFL, and is that something that you would potentially get involved with in the future?
I probably won't get involved. I've never had a concussion, but I used to give them. But I never had a concussion. I never really looked into it.
So he's responsible for 63% of the concussions the NBA has.
But is it something I'll probably get into? Probably not.
Okay, cool. Thank you, guys.
Yes, thank you. Go real fast, but we're going to cut it off after this. I'm taking a good look at everyone who's in line. Come over here right away. We'll try to make it nice because I feel bad that you stood. We're about to transition to a little competition. Courtney will come out and explain it. I'm going to let you ask real quick. You 5, can you guys come to the corner over here and stand over there? I'm going to give you a little extra love right away. Get them. Go over there. All right. Yo, my man, let's go. You 5, can we go to the left instead of the right? Other side. All right. Fire away. And then we're going to give Shaq a lot of love for this. Really, really appreciate it. Go ahead, my man.
Thank you so much for this. And Dr. O'Neill, thank you so much for being here and being here. So Bernard Cobb, super nervous, sorry.
Don't worry, brother, we got you.
Recently was elected as the board president for Columbia Children's Theater in Columbia, South Carolina. And one of the thanks. One of the tasks that's been put in front of me is we're being kicked out of the place where we're at. So we partnered with Brooklyn Lakeview Empowerment Center, and they're an amazing group or organization. They help 15,000 people a year, and with underemployment and unemployment. So, Shaq, I know you do a lot with philanthropy as well as you, Gary. For me, what questions or how would you suggest that I go to the city of West Columbia to help
either getting together for a project to build a new theater, or not a theater, but a performance center for West Columbia.
You explain to them your passion, you ask them what they need, and you figure out and you get it done. Like, I went to this women's shelter. I just walked in. What do you need? Oh, we need some new furniture, need some new TVs. What else? New beds, boom, boom. All right, I'll take care of it. Oh, what do you mean you take care of it? I'll take care of it. So you know, again, you explain them your passion. This is who I am, this is what I do. What do you need, and how can we get it done? See, a lot of times when I ask people, what do they need? I know I can get it done right away. No bureaucracy, no talk to the mayor. I'm gonna fucking take care of it right away. So again, when I went to this women's shelter, new beds, new TV, new paint, Brian, Alex, jump on it, take a few weeks, few months, get it done, and you just get it done. No charity dinners. I just, you know, pay for the whole thing myself. So I'm sure you'll figure it out.
I think for you, it's all storytelling. You're gonna have to compel the people that write the check from the government, from the city, from the state. It's all storytelling, whether that's in deck form, whether that's in 45 dinners one by one with the decision makers, whether that's a video, whether that's unlimited social media content. The only way you get things done.
I have a present for you.
You have a present for me?
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, say hello to Charles Barkley.
No way, no way, no way.
Got him.
I love it. He lost his fucking mind.
That's the ultimate gift.
I'm glad you didn't die. I think you've got a story to tell, right? And so when you're asking for money from things with bureaucracy, you're asking for money from things with bureaucracy.
Okay.
And the answer to that is always storytelling. Sometimes it's the local news back in the day picking up the story and that got it done. Other times it was an article in a newspaper. That was also asking someone to do something. We now live in a world of unlimited cameras where our phones are better than Hollywood 30 years ago. You've got a story to tell and get people to give a shit.
I don't.
Period.
So one last thing to the guy that was over here. Again, I'm new to this board of director position, but it's acting as if and understanding that it's not a failure, right? It's an opportunity to learn and changing that mindset. I mean, like I said, I'm nervous as hell and I practice, you know, talking, but I learned so much.
100%.
And I absolutely appreciate you.
Let's hear for Shaquille O'Neal. Let's get up.